V introductions. If somebody is new or hasn't been here for a while, the floor is yours to introduce yourselves.
Hello, everybody. I take the floor. It's the first time for me to be present here. My English is not very good. I'm French. I'm from Strasbourg, and I am the co-founder of Prosoon. And Prosoon is a web application to issue, verify digital credential for skills recognition to fight against discrimination through an anonymous verifiable presentation. And we are here with Frédéric that I meet in the EBSI Early Adopter Program. He took the lead of the employment cluster, working on certificate of work and other verifiable credential in employment. And I am the coordinator of micro credential cluster. And in our scenario, we have also an example of an internship through verifiable credential that is issued to a student entrepreneur in Strasbourg. So yeah, I leave the floor to Frédéric maybe to introduce yourself.
Yeah, thank you, Hugo. So my name is Frédéric Beau. I'm the founder of Primus Money, which is a IT company. We were originally specialized on Ethereum blockchains. And for the past year, we've been working on verifiable credentials. And as Hugo mentioned, in the employment credential cluster. So, and this is where we developed solution. And so I understand that the discussion will be more on the data model and the schemas of the verifiable credential that we have been using.
Thank you very much. Anybody from the audience who would like to chip in at this point?
Hello, everyone. Happy Monday. My name is Kristen Franklin. I'm the Associate Director of Product at Digital Promise, which is a U.S.-based education nonprofit. We sit at the intersection of researchers and developers and practitioner networks to really improve access to great education everywhere. So we're an equity-based nonprofit. And I'm really excited to be here. This is my very first WC3 presentation, so I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Great. Well, if you do not have anybody else from our small group, then we can probably proceed to the next agenda point, which would be announcements and reminders. Does anybody from the current audience have any events or news that you would like to share with the community? Please press Q+, raise your hand, or just unmute your microphone. We are not that many, so you can just speak up.
This is Phil from the T3. Am I audible?
Yes,
you are.
Thank you. Just a reminder for those in the U.S. that are thinking about attending the Trusted Learner Network, April 3rd and 4th. The afternoon of the 3rd is a presentation by the T3 Innovation Network and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation on the work-related credentials associated with the efforts that are underway here for the so-called LER ecosystem. And we'll be talking about a guide and a resource library for those that are in the process of implementing such systems, as well as the linked claims approach that Dimitri Zagadoulin and I Golda Velez have been working on to allow for self-asserted credentials to be authored from a web-based user interface and related topics. So that's April 3rd in the U.S. in Phoenix, Arizona, associated with ASU's Trusted Learner Network. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If you want to leave the URL in the chat for the information of the others, that's very welcome. Any other news or announcements from others?
Hi, we've got IIW coming up in April, which has lots of stuff happening around it. I have really good news. We have our Africa regional event site live, so I'm going to share the URL for that. Coming up in September. June, we have Digital Identity on Conference Europe in Zurich, and January 2025 will be in Bangkok, Thailand.
Thank you very much. Great. It's great to see so many relevant events happening around the world. Any other announcements or news items from the rest of the community? And thanks for the link, Phil. If not, or if you prefer to leave messages or references in the chat, you are welcome to do that. With regards to announcements and reminders of upcoming events, our next event is going to be, our next meeting going to be on the 8th of April. This means that we are going to skip next Monday, which is Easter Monday. I'm wishing you all a happy Easter. And then by that time, we will be over this misalignment of the summertime saving clock issue. You will receive the agenda later next week or this week. And just for your information, the main agenda point on the 8th of April will be a news article or announcement of developments in the European Digital Credentials for Learning infrastructure and what the most recent deployment or the release included. And without further ado then, unless there are any other comments, we can move on to today's main topic, which is why our invited speakers, Hugo and Frederick, are here. And this would be about the W3C verifiable credentials, education and employment credentials in general. And I presume there will be, we will learn a lot of things about EPSI employment credentials. So whatever sequence you are speaking, the floor is yours, Hugo and Frederick. And thank you very much again for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So I want to thank Simone, who invited me and Frederick to this meeting. And in my part, it will be an overview about employment credential and what we are doing in France with my partners and with ProSoon. But for all the technical issue and question, I think that Frederick is a good single point of contact, and he will present the work that we are doing with EPSI. So yeah, in France, we begin like a lot of you, I think, with diplomas and verifiable credential in a formal accreditation standard. And we have a strong partnership with company as verifiers, as recruiters that are looking for a young graduate, for example. And step by step, they talk about digitizing certificate of work, internship, apprenticeship contract. So we begin to think about a model, and we were working on this. And for this year, it's a real project with some companies that are going to issue internship for students, because first of all, ProSoon is for student employability, so that is a point of to enter in this game of employment credential. And we meet the employment cluster, so that's why I'm implicated too in this employment cluster. We have a law firm called FIDAL in France that is going to experiment employment credential, and we have built a cross-border scenario to showcase the benefits of employment credential for professional mobility. And yes, maybe Frederick, you can take the floor and present what we are talking about.
Yes, so we will be talking about the certificate of work, and certificate of work is actually when you have left the company and that you get. So the jurisdictions in the different country can be different, but more or less it's kind of always the same idea, is that the company is most often obliged to give you a document stating that you have worked and in what position you have been with the company. So, but employment credential is something, is a vaster subject, because, okay, today it's maybe one of the big source of credentials, because you have a different aspect, which is when you are still an employee, you often ask for what we call an employment attestation. So there is a difference with the certificate of works, meaning that the employer is attesting that you are still an employee, and you are using that in your relationship with, for example, banks or landlords. So meaning that these documents and the, another one, which is the salary slip, is definitely an attestation that the companies are producing in mass, and that people are definitely needing to get a good credit score to a bank or to a landlord. So this is where we have this situation where when you are in the company, you are receiving potentially a lot of credentials, but today it's usually in the form of a PDF. And we do have a lot of fraud on this kind of PDF, in particular on the salary slip, where people will change the their wage, or even, you know, in the position that they have in the company, they use some blank paint and change some names and some job situation. For the certificate of work, this is where, in fact, you are leaving the company, and there is usually a law defining exactly what should be in this document. And when we make the connection with the education, this is where, in fact, the diploma is kind of like a certificate of work. But it's more kind of, you have a background where you have a more uniformity on the semantic, but maybe you have less of a uniformity on the structure of the document itself, meaning that usually you have to give your name and first name like in a diploma, but you know you have to provide some definite elements, because you are you have to prove by law that this person has been an employee. So this is where we went into this situation where we have the double aspect of a certificate of work is something that is very standardized and that we could put into a schema. But the semantic within the schema could be different from one company to another. For example, the definition of a job position. Okay, there is a practice where you tend to have a common practice among people, but you can have some difference from one company to another. You know, Google calling that an expert in technology and someone calling that an architect or something else. So this is where we produced a schema so that we can have a certificate of work, you know, in a proper form. But we are still facing this discussion about how people will feed this document. And one important aspect is that I mentioned that there is a lot of PDF that are produced today, meaning that the companies usually have a production of attestation in PDF format that is already there. So we more have to think of how we can plug on an existing pipeline of data more than kind of come and say that you have to change everything into your ERP, because usually the data that we are talking about are coming from an ERP. So this is where, when we talk to a company and saying that you have to touch to an ERP, this is a no-go from the start. And so this is where I will maybe hand over the discussion to Hugo, because I mentioned the certificate of work, which is a bit like a diploma, and saying that it's a way for you to prove that you have acquired some experience, and that it's kind of an experience that you had, you know, in the past. But this is where, you know, you have also a lot of attestation which are produced within a company. And so one of the attestation that we have not experienced or experimented, you know, in the employment credentials stream, but we are thinking about is, for example, the performance evaluation. So this is where companies are producing a lot of data, you know, and structured data with this performance evaluation. And this is where something, these data are not used today beyond, you know, having your performance review and your potentially the bonus that you have at the end of the year. So, and this is where, so Hugo mentioned that, okay, there is an ongoing trend saying that there is also a lot of training, the internal training. And this is where micro credentials could be a way to capture those data and put them into a format that an employee can leverage to prove his professional experience, his knowledge, and things like that. So maybe, Hugo, you can give a bit of background on the micro-credential in this context.
Yes. Thank you, Frederic. So, of course, our partner also want to have a traceability of skills development in their companies through short training, online training, small volume of learning. And this is micro-credentials, data schema, data models that we are building. And the certificate of work combined with that kind of micro-credential could be a real happy end for a salary who go out. It's like outboarding or offboarding. And for the employer brand, it's very important to have an happy end and say, okay, you have spent 10 years in my company, but you have achieved this, you develop some skills, and I hope that you will take it to get a better job outside. So this happy end, a lot of human resource director are looking for that here in France, fortunately. And yes, I think that kind of verifiable presentation, the certificate of work and the micro-credentials that you earn as a salary in your continuous and vocational training, it's something very, very interesting for learning all the career. So, yeah, that's the point of the complementarity of micro-credential. And also I want to say, because I'm the CEO, not the CTO of Prosun, so not in a technical side, but in a business side. It's a way to switch from the role of issuer to the role of verifier and recruiter. And for the onboarding of verifier, I think it's very interesting. You onboard a company through issuing digital credential, but one day if they need credentials, you can switch in a recruiter part of an application to look for a verifiable presentation. And that's the vision of Prosun, that we want verifier to be part and really implicated. We know that there is not enough verifiers that are implicated in this game. So I think it's a very attractive positioning to say you can be an issuer, but if you need to find the right competencies and the right skills, you can switch from a recruiter part and look for school relationship through this anonymous and verifiable presentation that we want to build in Prosun. So yeah, but for the employment case, I don't know if you have some testimony or experience in the audience about that. But yeah, I think Dimitri want to say something.
Yeah, I wanted to say thank you both for the introduction. I think we're all on board here in this call about the value of micro-credentials, both in terms of employment certificates and anything else. Would you be able to go into details and share the data model with us? So what do your credentials look like?
Frédéric, do you have I know that I share some resources.
So this is, for the employment, for the certificate of work, this is where we have published something, and that is available, that has been published on the EPSI pilot site. But I think that maybe if you have that at hand, Hugo, you can send the full yes. schema that we shared together. So this is one. And so the important aspect in this case is the list of positions that you add in the company, because this is kind of some sort of the experience degrees that you have acquired, you know, throughout your participation in the company. So, and what I mentioned is that you may have some semantic, you know, issues about saying that, meaning semantic in the sense that from the machine point of view, this is where the machine may have, you know, sometimes difficulties to know if this is exactly the same position or not. But usually when you look from a recruiter point of view, this is where it's definitely something that is understood. So this is the list of occupations that are provided in the certificate of work. And then we have the other one, which is employment attestation. And that I briefly mentioned, but that has a different kind of role. This is more than proving that you are still in the company. So it's less to do with, you know, proving your worth to another employer. It's proving your worth to a bank or to a landlord, saying that you have this kind of position. So meaning that you will have the means to pay back your credit, your loan, or you to pay your rent every month.
So I share in the chat. Is that the for the Uni Pilot Work Certificate schema?
So one thing that I noticed that in the README there is that the schema is registered in the Trusted Schemas Registry. Can you say a few words about that? What is that registry?
Actually, with EPSI, we are working for interoperability, and there is a trust registry for data model and schema that is hosted by European Commission. If I'm right, Frederic, don't hesitate to stop me if I say something wrong. But yes, for formal accreditation, for micro-credential, for a lot of kind of verifiable credentials, there is a registry for data model, and you can reproduce it, you can take it for you, and it's a collaborative tool.
And this is where we fall into the, you know, the devil is in the details. And so the idea is quite easy to understand, in saying that you have a single point of truth of saying that we will be using this schema, so that when I'm an issuer, I can produce, you know, using this schema, and so I will format my data in a way that, okay, verifier, if they decided to use the same schema, they will be able to receive the schema and the data with no glitches. But actually, this is where usually you will have always people adding other things, because, for example, you always have either, you know, specific laws which are local laws, or you have, you know, a practice which are national practice, and you will have some additional field. And because, you know, the flexibility of verifiable credential allows you to have optional or even, you know, non-specified fields, this is where you will still have the issue of it working very well when the issuer and the verifier know them, you know, both know themselves. But when you have, you know, a completely open, you know, environment where you are, for example, from one country, you know, using this schema, which is the idea of this trusted schema, saying that I will push data with this format, which has been validated at the European level, you still may encounter issues when you have a verifier from another country trying to receive the data.
And there is also the things that European blockchain service infrastructure want to be open for institutional universities in Europe. So they want us to build interoperability and between the wallet provider, but everything comes from W3C recommendation and draft. And there is, I don't know if you are familiar with this, but from EPSI, there is also the TAO, the trust chain, they call the trust chain. So trust accredited organization, they have to, like ministry, they have to issue to university the verifiable credential for the university to be a trust issuer. So there is also a registry for trust accredited organization and a registry, a trust issuer registry in the European Commission. I hope that it answers to your question.
It does. Thank you so much. Do we have questions from the audience?
But it would be great to build a relationship with the EPSI team. Do you have already been in contact with them?
Myself, no. I know Ildiko likely works with part of the team. So yeah, we're definitely interested in the VC Edu side and on the US side of things. We're definitely interested in building those relationships.
I think they have a lot of things to learn from you. And we have to.
So cool. While people are getting on the queue, which I strongly encourage you, tell us a little bit about alignment specifically. So I noticed in the employment certificates, one of the fields is occupational category. Is there an EPSI database of occupational categories or like a European Union one? Similarly for skills, micro-credentials, are you working with skills frameworks that you're able to refer to?
Very good question. I can answer for the micro-credential and the skills framework part. Yes, we have some resources from European Commission, such as European Learning Model, ELM, I can share with you. And also we have some skills framework like entrepreneurship framework, DigComp, which is a common framework for digital skills. So we are, there are common skills referentials that are building inside the European Commission. And when you are in France and you want to develop a program in entrepreneurship, for example, you can see the European framework EntreComp and say, okay, that are skills that can be acquired or achieved in my learning program. And you can say that you are compliant with the skills framework recommendation of European Commission, and you can integrate it. And we have I can share with you a lot of link about European qualification framework, that are also for formal accreditation and the yes all the EQF level to for the level of study, etc. That is the same for all the European country in academic institutional academic like universities. So you have the ECTS credit also, and all this semantic and all this work is done for student mobility to simplify the process of eligibility verification for an admission service in the European universities.
So maybe I can give you some background about, you know, the active population, saying the people who are working. So this is where, okay, there are similar, you know, endeavors of trying to unify the terminology. But this is where it's less advanced than in education part. And this is where I believe that it will be also very difficult to we should not wait to have, you know, the complete definition, because, for example, I was trying to find, so maybe I don't remember well, but just to give the example, I was trying to see if they are at the definition of software architects. And in fact, I could only find architect, you know, as a building architect, you know, in the building industry. So meaning that at this level, you know, you are in software and you are a software engineer. And the difference between an architect and a developer is not necessarily meaningful at this level. While, you know, for being employed, this is something that is quite important. So have you been an architect, you know, in your former position, or were you a tech lead? Were you a CTO in what type of company? This is where I believe that we should not wait for the complete semantics to start using credentials. We should allow, and this is why credentials have also built in this flexibility, which is a good thing. So lately I've been thinking a lot about, you know, the SOAP API and how it kind of, it didn't provide what we were expecting that it should provide. And it was, in my sense, too formal. And this is where one good point of verifiable credentials is that it's avoided to say that you have to be strictly, you know, adherent to a schema so that I can receive your data and process your data. And this is where we should keep in mind that having a semantic will help us, but we should definitely start with saying that we are addressing, you know, a complex world, which is in our case, you know, the difference between all the companies throughout Europe and throughout the world. And we should definitely think that we have to allow this flexibility. And this is where my thinking is we should also allow some market, you know, standards to appear and not necessarily too much count on the top-down approach of saying that we should have a semantic defined. So I believe that, you know, if, for example, if some very important company in one business, in one industry, start to standardize on a certain terminology, this will have definitely a pervasive effect on the adoption of this terminology.
Yes, and I see some question in the chat. So for Sharon, question for Proson is the first time that we are involved in an international project. So it's the first time to test the interoperability. But we have real live experimentation in the east of France with a lot of companies and school. But yes, not in at large European scale. It's the first time for us. And the second question from Idiko.
I'm happy to rephrase that. If I haven't missed something, I just left my question in the chat because I was kicked out of the room. So I am very familiar with the European learning model, but okay. I also know that our credentials have to have a claim. And when I just looked at the simple JSON schema that you posted in the chat, it has the credential subject properties are the usual ID, family name, first name, start date, end date, and the list of occupations. And there is no claim as like employee or something. And I don't see any reference to those knowledge and skills that you said that could be verified. So how do you connect these together?
It's not built yet, but I think that it's going to be two different verifiable credentials. The schema that I share, I think it's for the certificate of work, maybe, of work. But in my opinion, I see it like a verifiable presentation, including complementary verifiable credential with different data schema. But maybe if my CTO heard this. Yes. Or maybe Frederic, if you want to, yes, attempting it.
I'm not sure. I got the question about, you know, the knowledge worker. What do you meant actually?
The learning outcomes and yeah.
Yes, correct. So when we talk about simple learning credentials, then the claim would normally include references to learning achievements, and they would include references to learning outcomes, and the learning outcomes have properties such as related ESCO skills and related other non-ESCO skills. So there's a very direct JSON path to the granularity of the skill coming from the credential through the claim, through the achievement, through la la la. But how can you grasp that in the employment context, which is something that is not very well covered by the European Digital Credentials for Learning in our team yet?
But okay, this is where if we go back to the practice, so someone has been an architect, so and today you don't know if he has been or she has been a good architect or a bad architect. So. And you have also laws where, okay, you have restriction on what you can, you know, say about how the person achieved in their role. So this is where today the practice is people are not rated. So, but I mentioned the, you know, the evaluation, the performance evaluation review, which is in fact one of the cases where there is some kind of scoring. So, and in this case, we could start to think that today these documents are only internal. So, meaning that we are very far from what you are describing, saying that, okay, I've been an architect and I had the score of 80 out of 100 in this role. So we are very far. And as I mentioned, potentially we may never get there because there are some low issues about are you really allowed to rate an employee. So for example in France this is why it's very restricted, so you could really have a penal, you know, penalties and fines if you do this kind of rating actually. So today, the occupation, this what I was mentioning, is this practice of saying that I'm a software architect, and the people who are recruiting me would say that, okay, I know what a software architect is, even if there is not a proper definition at the national or European level. And then, because it's in this company, you know, he was working in this business company, being a software architect in Google has more value than being a software architect at another company, for example.
That's right. Although I do wonder from the point of view of the user, if the credential that would be a verifiable credential based on the performance review that has a tremendous potential, this is still the property of the user. So whether they share it for another job application or not, it's up to them. And they have a bad, if they have a bad performance review than they probably want. But wouldn't it be just great for lifelong learners and mobile employees to be able to communicate their skills, whether they come from learning or employment?
But this is where I'm not sure that you can say that the data belong to the employee. I'm not sure that we are in this situation. So I'm not a lawyer, and I've not spent too much time on looking at the jurisprudence. But this is where, if the employer and the employee agree to share the data, this is where you are in a safe situation. But if they do not agree, I don't believe that you will be able to use it, only if the employee wants to use it. So.
We have some other questions in the chat.
Yes.
One from Phil.
For the ESCO part, thank you very much, Phil, for sharing this. Yes, we have to build this link, and I think that European Learning Model V3 includes this link with the existing framework. But yes, we need to build this interoperability with the ESCO classification.
So this is where, at some point, you know, during this project, so it's kind of a limited in time project, this employment cluster. So we have reached a step now. And so we looked at it. And so we didn't see, you know, enough, you know, material so that we could use it readily. And this is where, possibly in the future that will be usable. But again, I will stress the fact that, you know, the existing, you know, material, which is what has been stored into the different ERPs from different companies, has a lot of heterogeneity. And so that will definitely be a difficult path to, you know, change all this practice and legacy terminology for employment attestation in the near future, or the certificate of work.
But I have this same point with my partners from skills evaluation and skills recognition point of view. So I'm the first to say that we need a visualization of verifiable credentials that is very simple and clear for verifier. And we need to value skills framework in this representation and visualization of the data. So we need to build like additional resources in these credentials that can build this link with existing resources and framework. Today we built, we hard code this in the credential with Prosun to show a skills framework. We are describing the skills, describing it and declined in a different level of achievement of skills. But it's something very, very complicated, and we must simplify it by integrating existing framework and resources. It's a big work.
I mean, we should also see, so if we want to have a verifiable credential adopted, we should show how it's better than what we have today. So this is why I mentioned that you can have a PDF, and then you put some blank on it, and you change the name of your job occupation because you think it doesn't reflect your true value. Okay, so we have some software to detect, so you know, that people have done that. And what is kind of the situation today is that when you have a fraud, this is something that is very, very common. So, meaning that, you know, using a verifiable credential, you will be able to transfer the denomination, which is the interesting denomination of a company is already of value because you can prove that it has not been tampered. So I believe that we should have as a goal of, you know, promoting verifiable credential with the situation as it is today, compared to what, you know, the pain point is today, is that people can modify the information, you know, between the issuer and the verifier. So we should adopt some very flexible schemas. We should capture what is done so that people can, put their own terminology on it. But we should not probably try to wait for a common adopted terminology before trying to show what is really the benefits of a verifiable credential over a PDF.
If I can add something about the benefit between employment credential and micro-credential and skills framework. I will try to explain it in English. It's not quite simple, but here in France, there are bridges that are building between different organizations. For example, we have, on the one hand, an industry that have economic difficulties and that fire a lot of people. And on the same geographical location, we have a hospital that needs some skills, and we want to be able to find the transferability of skills. Someone in the industry has developed some skills that can be used in a medical position or profession. And this is very interesting for professional mobility, to identify the transferability of skills from one activity to another. I hope that it was understood.
Anyone else? I see we have some other questions in chat. Please put yourself on the queue.
If you have a project like this outside Europa, we are very interested to take good practices and resources.
So I'm seeing a question in the chat, so maybe I can answer it. So Sharon is asking, other than fraud detection, other companies you work with found other benefits. So I was trying to convey this impression that today what they are doing is, you know, before, you know, having something like proving and leveraging the skills of your employee. So the first thing is really proving that the person is really an employee and that he can go to a bank and ask for a loan. So, and this is where we are definitely in the fraud detection situation. So today, really the use of attestation, you know, issued by companies and used by companies is mainly, you know, for this kind of use cases, and where fraud detection is the main driver to adopt a new technology like verifiable credential. So this is where we should, you know, take this as the first step to kind of make people familiar with the technology, so that in a second step they can really leverage this second aspect, which is, okay, then you will be able to use the certificate of work. You will be able to use micro credentials. You will be in a, we don't know if it's a distant future, use the performance reviews, so that people can, you know, benefit and from their skills and experience. But definitely the fraud detection is, I believe, the main driver for the adoption of a new technology like verifiable credentials.
Yes, and in addition to that, I identify another benefit, which is purely marketing and employer brand, because when it's the portability of the attestation. When someone share on LinkedIn that his or her company train make a masterclass, make a training and a certificate of work that includes skill valuation, etc. Any salary, any graduates who get the credential and share it is your ambassador. So they want to, on LinkedIn, on the kind of see, they like to see people sharing verifiable attestation. So there is a marketing part that is a benefit, an interesting benefit for visibility and notoriety.
All right, we've got just a couple of minutes till the top of the hour. Anyone else? Last minute questions?
Okay, I don't think there are any. So if you would like to have some closing remarks, Hugo and Frederick, or how you would like to see us collaborate in the future, that would be a very welcome closing note.
Yes, with pleasure. It was a pleasure, but we have maybe some contact in our network that are working on side project and could be interested to be part of this group and maybe to showcase something one day. So yeah, it's a beginning, I hope, of a stronger collaboration. And thank you again for the invitation.
Well, you're very welcome, and thank you very much for making time to join us today. And by all means, please feel free to join our future meetings. You have the last invitation where you can find links to how to subscribe to our mailing list. Thank you very much again for your contribution. It was very exciting. And thank you for the introduction in the chat as well. And if there are no further questions or comments or notes, then I would like to wish you all happy Easter holidays. And we will see you on the 8th of April, Monday, at the usual time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
Goodbye.